Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain, and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
It is a whopping 8 years since Simon Harris, now Taoiseach, then Minister for Health, promised that no child in Ireland with scoliosis would be left languishing on a waiting list. Everybody would be seen within 4 months, was the promise he made. Now, you do not need me to remind you whether Simon Harris actually kept that promise. With me now is Tom Clonan. Tom is an independent senator, of course, and Claire Call, who's co-founder of the Scoliosis Advocacy Network, because there is a piece of legislation making its way through the Oireachtas which seeks to highlight and address this issue. But Claire, before we talk about the legislation, remind us a little bit of the journey you and your family have been on.
Hi, Kieran. Kieran, I spoke with you actually 10 years ago. It was 2015. And I say you were probably one of the first people we spoke to public. And at the time, my son was waiting for a scoliosis surgery. And I think it's really important to note that our children often, it's not just a one-day procedure. These children, their childhoods have been robbed. Robbed by a failing system. So at that time, my son was waiting for a surgery. And in between, he's had lots of surgeries. And he's back now again waiting for a spinal fusion. So that just gives you an idea of what children who live with scoliosis, especially children who live with other conditions such as spina bifida or cerebral palsy, or children who live with early onset congenital scoliosis, it's a lifelong condition and they're stuck in a really dysfunctional system.
And what's the reality of that then, Claire, for your son in those periods where he needs the surgery, acutely needs the surgery and is waiting on it?
Yeah, so every child, when it's clinically indicated, Kieran, there's no benefit to that child being left wait for surgery. And I think that's our message from day one. Like, we're not, you know, looking for something that isn't attainable. It should be attainable in a first world country. Our children end up with lifelong health complications due to long waits for care. And that could be hearing things like a reduced lung function. Cosmetically, they may not have the same outcome. They have to deal with higher risks in theatre, such as increased risk of blood, blood loss, increased infection rates. And also, Kieran, it's their futures. So not only have their childhoods been robbed, their futures in some cases. Some children have missed the window completely for surgery and therefore will never be able to have a surgery for their scoliosis.
And tell me then a little bit, Claire, about how every time this comes up, you guys are met with promises that it's going to go away for good.
Yes, and that it has been the case. So there's usually been, you know, a media outcry and a spotlight has been shone on the subject. There's children who have to go and go public with their stories. And they can be quite traumatic for the children and the family. And we are, you know, constantly there's initiatives. But these initiatives, Kieran, usually work short term. But long term, we still see, you know, quite big lists. Even today, there's quite big lists for scoliosis surgery. And if you take away all the outsourcing that's going on, you know, our hospitals are just not dealing with the children in a timely and safe fashion.
Well, listen, Claire, stay with us because I want to come back to you. But Tom Clonan, the independent senator, like I say, with us as well. Tom, you're welcome to the show. So tell me about the legislation that is hoped will address this.
Thanks, Kieran. Hi, Claire. How are you? Look, we drafted the Shannon Independent Group, Senator Michael McDougall in sheer exasperation at this dreadful situation, drafted legislation, the Scoliosis Treatment Bill, which we introduced as an independent group in the last Doyle and Shannon, but we have reinstated it to the order paper. And this will be the first test of this new government's commitment to dealing with this issue tomorrow evening at 5:15 when we advance this bill to committee stage. And then it'll be a short hop to completion and trying to introduce it and have it enacted. And basically what the legislation does, Kieran, is that it compels, legally obliges the government to, you know, compel the HSE, Children's Hospital Ireland, to actually do what it says in the tin and begin to operate and deal with the children on these waiting lists. And just so the listeners are aware, my own son, Owen, had a spinal fusion back in 2018. And again, like Claire's son, it was left too late, it was left too long. You know, he became an increased anaesthetic risk and almost became inoperable. It compressed his lungs, such was the curvature, and compressed his heart and his chest cavity. And this is all completely unnecessary. And as Claire said, this should not be happening in a first world developed country.
And Tom, tell me how the legislation might work in practice, whereby you've got a situation where there's a shortage of specialists or a shortage of theatres or whatever the problem, the pinch point happens to be. If the HSE turn around and say, listen, we accept the legislation exists and we are compelled to follow it, but we simply cannot do the surgery, there's no one to do it.
Well, look, we know, and Claire will know this, any parent here listening, any carer who has a disabled child will know that the HSE are absolutely incorrigible when it comes to meeting the fundamental human rights of our children. Like we learned today that they've spent over 5 million fighting families in the courts against, you know, a basic assessment of need. So the minister did make funding available to the HSE and CHI, and the two to me are indistinguishable. You can't, you know, abdicate responsibility from the HSE by to this entity CHI. They were given, I think it was 17 million towards this problem, and then it emerges that they spent it on other things. So we have to introduce legislation to make it legally obligatory for them to do it, because Ireland is the only country in the European Union where disabled citizens do not have a legal right to surgery, therapeutic interventions, treatments and so on. That legal right exists in every other country in the European Union except Ireland. So this bill is designed and, as I said, drafted by Senator Michael McDougall to compel the state agencies to actually deal with this. And an amendment has been put down by Sinn Féin, and I think it's a good one, where it clarifies again that if funding is necessary from the treatment, the National Treatment Fund or Treatment Abroad Fund, that should also be made available. Like, we have the money, we have the wherewithal, let's do it.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned the assessment of need issue, because the reason that parents in that situation have been able to effectively sue the state is because there is a time limit set out in the Disability Act in 2005 of a 6-month waiting list for an assessment of need. And I think in 90% of cases, still 2 decades on, that target is missed. So I guess, I mean, this is not the outcome ultimately you want. The outcome everybody wants is that children are seen in a timely manner. But it strikes me that if this legislation were to pass and be signed into law, that at the very least, parents would have the opportunity to sue the state where the timelines are not met.
Well, I know from dealing with the HSC for 20 years that they will not do anything for altruistic reasons. They don't regard disabled citizens as having human rights. They regard this, and it's a cultural thing, as being kind of a charity.
Can you expand on that maybe a little? Sorry, Tom, but just, you know, I'm sure you're not suggesting there are kind of individuals or people running the HSE who kind of take an almost kind of eugenicist attitude towards disabled people.
Well, no, it's not eugenicist. It's ableist. Like, if you were to treat people like this, if you were to refuse people treatment on the basis of their ethnicity or their sexual identity or their sexual orientation, you'd be accused of being sexist, racist, homophobic or what have you.
Yeah. But I guess what I'm asking is, is it badness or is it a kind of a cultural thing?
It's ableism, pure and simple. Okay. We've inherited a culture of charity when it comes to our disabled citizens. Disability rights are not seen as human rights here, and that has to change. We have to change the narrative, and we have to drag the HSE and all of the other state agencies kicking and screaming into the 21st century. And, you know, I ran on the basis of having a son in this situation. That's my sole motivation for election to public office. And I will be holding this government to account for the next 4 or 5 years, however long this government lasts, on these issues.
Claire, do you and do other members of the network, the Scoliosis Network, do you feel the same way, that your children are viewed as some sort of second-class citizen?
Yeah, we feel that there's never been anything put in place that meets the needs of our children. And as I said to you, we're a first world country, we're a very wealthy country, and there is the ability to do and fix this, but nobody has ever followed through. And like Senator Clonan spoke of, we have exhausted, as a group, an advocacy group, absolutely every avenue. We've met with every health minister, we have campaigned, we have welcomed the Ombudsman's report into scoliosis that recognised it as a children's rights issue, and that was 2017. And as a parent, I genuinely thought change would happen at that point, and it hasn't happened. And that's what our whole country is. It is against our children in terms of it is not vindicating the rights of our children to access timely and safe care. And I think there's a lack of trust now. You know, families feel a lack of trust in the HSC and CHI. You know, there's leaked draft reports of osteotomies. There's worries and concerns about medical device regulation. So there's lots of stuff going on in the background that is so dysfunctional that we need to, for once and for all, put in place very clear framework that is making sure that the rights of our children are vindicated.
Tom, Claire mentioned that it's 10 years since I first spoke to her and 8 years since Simon Harris made that promise. And not to defend the government, the reason we spoke to Claire back 10 years ago is because it was indefensible what was happening. But the government back then might have said, well, listen, you know, we're broke effectively and we're still emerging from an era of austerity. I mean, it's utterly indefensible now, isn't it, when we're putting literally billions and billions of euro into rainy day funds?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, it's as simple as this, Kieran. If, God forbid, you got chest pain, notwithstanding the weight, you know, the situation in our emergency departments, you will be seen. And if you need treatment, you'll get it. You'll get stents put in. You'll get a bypass if you need it. If you have cancer, you'll be seen by an oncologist. You'll be given treatment, even though the emergency departments are a bit chaotic. And if you're pregnant and you go to a maternity hospital, you'll be seen. You'll be scanned. You'll be helped. Your baby will be delivered. I mean, when you go to a maternity hospital, they don't hand you a piece of paper and say, here, watch this video on YouTube to see what to do when the baby comes. Our children and disabled citizens, as Claire pointed out, are not getting the treatment. They're being turned away. Some of our children are becoming inoperable. Like when I think of my son, 2018, the situation that he was in, which was life-threatening, was completely unnecessary and avoidable. Now, I had a bunch of spinal surgeons from Phoenix, Arizona. I hosted them in Leinster House before Christmas, and we were talking about the spinal list here. And they said, if you got those 130 children and put them on a plane and sent them to a paediatric unit in the States or in Canada or in the UK or any of the centres of excellence, there would be an international medical risk incident announced, because they never see children in the condition that our children have gotten into. And the reason is because in many cases they are disabled citizens. And I'm sorry to say, when other citizens get the treatment they need within the therapeutic window, you have to ask yourself, why do our children not get it? And I can only conclude, and I've been in this space now for 22 years, protesting outside the Dáil, protesting and marches, you know, like Claire said, you know, speaking to ministers and successive ministers and people in the HSE, Ireland is an ableist state. We can change that. We can do better. But we have to set out legislation, as is the case in every other European Union country, that protects the fundamental human rights of disabled citizens.
You mentioned YouTube videos. It reminded me, and I won't say who it was because they told me in confidence, but somebody I spoke to recently who had to change a colostomy bag on a relative and was told by the HSE rep that they were speaking to the medical professional that you could watch a video on YouTube how to do it. That was the instruction they were sent home with.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. And look, I can tell you, my son, now he's 23, he's happy, he's in college, but he has never had a meaningful, like, therapeutic intervention in his life. Like, he's never had proper speech therapy, physiotherapy, occupational therapy. All they can ever do in Ireland is from now and again measure him to measure his deterioration. And can you imagine what that's like as a parent? Like, I've four kids, 24, 23. My daughter will be 21 in May, and I have a young fellow who's 17. But when you hand the welfare of your child over to other agencies because of disability, which is what you have to do in Ireland because it's not rights-based, they fail. They fail on every measure. Suboptimal medical outcomes, poor quality of life, lowest employment rates in the OECD for disabled citizens. Disabled citizens in Ireland and families with a disabled member live in consistent poverty. That's been shown over and over again. Like, we really have to get to grips with this and recognise it for what it is. This is the scandal of our age. And that wait list, not just for scoliosis, but for urological surgery, is an international medical scandal. And it really is.
And Tom, to what extent do policymakers and the people who should be held responsible for this, do they avoid accountability by passing the buck between those agencies? You know, the Department of Health says it's a HSE agent. The HSE points to Children's Health Ireland. Children's Health Ireland point back to the HSE, back to the Department of Health, and over and over and over you go.
Yeah, well, like, but we have to get back to first principles. This is ultimately, and it shouldn't be a medical model, but we don't have social rights legislation for disabled citizens in Ireland yet. I hope to introduce that legislation. But the minister is responsible. Now, the minister can delegate authority to the HSE or to CHI, but they cannot delegate responsibility. Now, the committees, unfortunately, have not been established. I hope when the committees are up and running that I'll get on to the Health Committee and the Disability Matters Committee. And I will be holding the ministers to account. Hildegard Nocton, Jennifer Carl McNeill, and Minister Foley for Children, Youth, Integration and Disability.
Tom Clonan, Independent Senator. Tom, thank you very much for speaking to us. And Claire Cadd. Claire is the co-founder of the Scoliosis Advocacy Network. Claire, as always, thanks a million for your time.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.